Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church and our weekly podcast, Today's Word from our Sunday Sermon. If after listening you have questions or want to contact us, you can do that at our email, otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com, or check out our website at www.otisvillepress.org. That's with two L's. So we're taking a look at the sermon for this past Sunday, the cross, for March 7th, from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 says, "Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or a root that sprouts in dry ground, the servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him attractive to us. He was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, 'He is a nobody.' He suffered and endured great pain for us, but we thought his suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that had wandered off. We had each gone our own way, but the Lord gave him the punishment we deserved. He was painfully abused, but he did not complain. He was silent like a lamb being led to the butcher, as quiet as a sheep having its wool cut off. He was condemned to death without a fair trial. Who would have imagined what would have happened to him? His life was taken away because of the sinful things my people had done. He wasn't dishonest or violent, but he was buried in a tomb of cruel and rich people. The Lord decided his servant would suffer as a sacrifice to take away the sin and guilt of others. Now the servant will live to see his own descendants. He did everything the Lord had planned. By suffering, the servant will learn the true meaning of obeying the Lord. Although he's innocent, he will take the punishment for the sins of others so that many of them will no longer be guilty. The Lord will reward him with honor and power for sacrificing his life. Others thought he was a sinner, but he suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us." So, having listened to the scripture, have you ever thought things were one way, only to discover later that, in fact, the truth was the opposite of what you understood or believed? In a game called Reformed Monopoly, made by some of my crazy friends in seminary, we all got turned inside out because the whole game turned out to be nothing we thought it was, shaking us up a good bit. The point of the game, it turned out, was to challenge our thinking, and it did a good job of that. The new game was intended to illustrate a bit about the theological idea of predestination. For those of you familiar with the thinking of Presbyterian and Reformed theologians, you will probably know of John Calvin and his idea that each of us is predestined by God to be a God follower or not. Predestination, then, is the concept that God has predetermined long before any of us actually live our lives who will enter heaven and who will perish in hell, without anything to do with what we folks do here in this lifetime. This particular game begins by laying pieces of paper under the board that declare who God has chosen long before the game is played, and even in spite of what happens in the game. Accumulating all the property and all the money doesn't mean anything, because at the end of the game, after you've played and someone has won, then up comes the board and everyone discovers whom God has chosen. Imagine the shock when the one God has chosen is not the winner of the game. And while it was intended to simply spoof the Calvinistic idea of predestination, it also laid bare the reality that we often fail to see very well that God's ways just are not our ways. Isaiah lays that out with additional clarity as he shares the story of the suffering servant, revealing God's intentions in stark detail and helping to explain the purpose and meaning of the cross. God is in control of the arc of human history, no matter how much we humans want to believe that we are. God is in control in every generation and in every story of Scripture, a perplexing surprise to those who encounter the reality once again. We humans made in the image of God, all of us, no matter our race, our ethnicity, gender, heritage, possessions, education, and all the rest, believe in our fallen condition that we should be in charge, either individually or in some corporate fashion. Even Israel thought that they should be in charge, and that if the Savior came, it would certainly be one of them or all of them together to save the world. That their nation would be a light to the world, the obvious servants of the Lord because of what they had done and how well they had kept the law, only to discover that God's ways were still foreign to them. And they were a light to the world, just not the way that they imagined. While salvation came each and every time for Israel, it wasn't because they were strong and powerful, capable and wise, faithful and beloved by God, but instead came when they were weak and unable. God stepped into history, bringing salvation by the most unlikely of means. From Egypt, they escaped because of God's doing, through the unlikeliest servant, Moses, a murderer who had fled punishment and lived in the wilderness of Midian until God found him and called him. And while it might be that Moses was very qualified for the job God gave him, be reminded that many contemporary Israelites were not particularly impressed with God's choice. And from Babylon, Israel escaped, not with the strong hand of their nation standing up and fighting and winning, but through God's work in the life of a foreigner and infidel named Cyrus the Persian. So when Isaiah speaks the words of prophecy about a suffering servant, it comes as a huge surprise, even though it probably shouldn't be, because God, once again, is doing a new thing. It's not the king or priest or general, nor the nation, nor the church, nor the army, who we expect and assume would come to save Israel and us. Rather, it is instead one who is counted out, not considered, incapable in the eyes of the world, and even in the eyes of the people of faith, unless they understand that this is how God works. Not with nobility or power or influence, but with weakness, humility, and even poverty of spirit. The servant is one who listens to God and then, instead of going on to victory, goes on to defeat. But it is in that defeat that God wins. So we come to the story of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the city of David, but who must flee for his life to Egypt. Jesus, who was raised in Nazareth, where no good thing comes from. Jesus, who is loved by many, but rejected by king and priest and general, by nation, by religion, and by military. But whom is chosen by God to suffer as an innocent for the many who are guilty, dying in abject misery, but rising to reveal once again how God works. We struggle to understand because it is not in our nature to choose suffering, to see it as redemptive, to imagine why a powerful God would choose defeat instead of sending legions of angels. We struggle because we cannot see how our God's greatest power, our God's greatest gift, is not to wrestle us into a relationship, into understanding, into grace, but to love us completely. The suffering servant who most thought was of no account turns out to be the one God chooses, because in that choice, God reveals more about his character, his delight, and even his love for us. God chooses the least of us. So as we begin the journey slow and steadily to Calvary and beyond, let us not forget that this is all God's doing and none of our own. Like the game Reformed Monopoly, God is in charge of the story. We are simply invited in love to come and meet the Savior, the God who shockingly chooses this suffering servant to save us. Open your eyes and see Jesus for who he really is. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us for our podcast today. It's been fun. If you have ideas, thoughts, things you'd like to add, questions you have, you certainly can contact us at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com or check out our website at www.otisvillepress.org, and we'd be glad to talk to you. Thanks for stopping by.